You're listening to IPL 2021 Hotspot Special Edition, powered by Earshot.in. Four wins out of four for Royal Challengers Bangalore, 8 points sitting atop. Chennai Super Kings back in form, 3 wins out of 4, 6 points. Delhi Capital, 6 points. Mumbai Indians, 4 points. That is first half of the points table in the Indian Premier League 2021. Lots to talk about in our show today. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Hotspot Special Edition IPL 2021, powered by earshot.in. As always, I'm your host, Chetan Narula, and talking with me is my friend and colleague from London, Daniel Norcross of BBC TMS. Daniel, who would have thought when this IPL started that Royal Challengers Bangalore will win 4 out of 4 games and everybody within the first 10-12 days will be talking about them as potential first-time champions? I know, I didn't think of that.
Well, neither did I. And what I would say is that their chances of being first-time champions have diminished by winning 4 out of 4, because as a general rule in the IPL, if you go off like a train, like the Delhi Capitals did and other sides have done in years gone by, things tend to come back to bite you. But they have been matchless. They've been supreme. They've got it's all about the bowling. They've got their bowling more sorted out. They've still got the chance to tweak to get AB de Villiers up the order, maybe at 3. If they do that, you can't see a better top 4 in the competition. And today's victory was, frankly, so comprehensive, it was absurd. They had so much time. If they batted first, you feel they might have got 250. It was the third highest 10-wicket run win. It was the 15th time it's happened in the IPL, a 10-wicket victory. So what the tension around whether Devdutt Padikkal was going to get that 100, I did wonder. No, they look in great touch at the moment, RCB. They will get much stiffer challenges than the one they had today.
Watching that partnership, you know, Virat Kohli is the perfect cheerleader for anybody batting at the other end. I mean, Devdutt Padikkal is only 20 years old and hitting his first IPL 100 of only 50-odd deliveries. Imagine 40 years from now, he's sitting and telling tales to his grandchildren about the time he used to play the IPL in the middle of a pandemic. And he had one of the all-time greatest wide ball players cheering every run at the other end. It's just amazing. I mean, you know, there's a bit of negativity about him when he curses on the field and divides opinion, really. But this is something that's really heartening to see. And it's like, you know what? There should be tickets sold that you get to bat 6 deliveries. And at the other end, Virat Kohli will be cheering for you whenever you hit a boundary or a 6 or whatever runs you score. So that would be a perfect, you know, roller coaster cricketing ride. But yes, RCB looked really, really good, but it needs to be replicated at the business end of the tournament. Today, we're going to take a pause. We're not going to talk about RCB or any of the top 4 teams, which we mentioned at the start of the episode. This episode is about who is in pole position for the wooden spoon. It's early in the season, but there are 4 teams which are really, really struggling. Let's look at the points table once again. So in the bottom half, you have Sunrisers Hyderabad, who last week were bottom because they hadn't won any game. Now they've won one game and they are suddenly at number 5. That's how things are changing, or that's how suddenly things change in the IPL. Kolkata Knight Riders, pretty much the same. Punjab Kings, pretty much the same. It's Rajasthan Royals, who were 5th this time last week. They have taken a sudden plunge down. They are number 8. So Sunrisers Hyderabad, Kolkata Knight Riders, Punjab Kings, Rajasthan Royals, all 4 teams on 2 points each. Daniel, it's looking tough for all these 4 teams. Sunrisers Hyderabad, they're struggling in Chennai. Kolkata Knight Riders, well, we'll talk about their game against Chennai Super Kings, but their batting isn't firing collectively. Punjab Kings, they should be doing better than they are. And Rajasthan Royals, well, they only have 2 batsmen. And I know they scored 180 runs today, but they were never going to be enough. In Mumbai, at Wankhede, 180 is never, never going to be enough.
No, and on that pitch, that was an extraordinary pitch today. And you actually knew when you were watching the game that Rajasthan had lost that match, It was probably when Sanju Samson was out.
Let me just say, Sanju Samson was out in the eighth over. So are we talking about a game being over as early as the eighth over?
No, I think it was over even earlier than that. I think it was really over when the third wicket went down inside the power play. But you're right. I mean, the last sort of hope went with Sanju Samson. Now, what happened thereafter was a very enterprising partnership. But you can remember, this is the first time Shivam Dubé has gone over 30 in an IPL match in three IPL seasons. Now, if it was a good knock today, but does that mean it's going to happen many times more often? History suggests not.
No.
Rahul Tewatia was a magnificently enterprising knock. There were some hilariously superb shots, the wonderful fades that he does when he opens the blade and hits it down through sort of deep backward point. We saw what Tewatia can do, but as an outfit, they're clearly in trouble. And you could see it actually in Jos Buttler's face. It's so rare for Jos Buttler to show emotion, let alone exasperation in the field. And today he did a couple of times. He looked really quite pained by some moments in the field, by really realizing that they were completely outgunned in that game. And that is a worry because it affects massively confidence in the big players as well, because the pressure that goes onto the likes of Buttler and Samson to score, you look at that side and you think the only way that they can get the totals that they can actually defend, now they don't have Archer, they don't have Stokes in their bowling lineup. Archer's an enormous miss. I mean, his four overs, I beg your pardon, would go at an average of 24. He's around about a 6 and over bowler. They've lost him. They don't have that. So they put so much pressure on the others. I think it's early days, but I'm consigning them to the bottom four. Now we've got a bit of an argument over the next three, I guess.
No, I think it'll stay the same. These four, I mean, might come up down a bit in the middle of the tournament, go on a run. But just the last word on Rajasthan Royals, they did not replace Steve Smith. Liam Livingston's gone home because of biobubble fatigue. Chris Morris, they bought him for an exorbitant price and he bats lower down the order. So you're really looking at only two batsmen, Buttler and Samson. I think this might get really, really intense for Samson because he's very young in captaincy. So this might get really intense for him. They have 10 games remaining. I don't see them winning more than three. And even to win those three, it'll take something magical. I mean, yes, Jos Buttler might have a great run. Samson might produce another great inning. So maybe three games out of 10. What do you say?
I think that's probably about right. But one thing they've got to change immediately is they've got to get Chris Morris up the order.
Yes.
You can't pay that amount of money for a number eight. They average facing about four balls in a game. So you've not bought an all-rounder if you bat him at eight. He's got to bat at five or six. He's got to get more game time. He's got to get more opportunity to use that bat. Otherwise, you've just bought a bowler for 1.7 million and he's not their best bowler.
Coming to Kolkata Knight Riders, they lost to Chennai Super Kings. Their top order didn't fire for a change, but the middle order fired because they were in truer batting conditions in Mumbai. Andre Russell, wow. It was a mad innings. And why I say it was a mad innings, because on the one hand, he's hitting such powerful sixes. I mean, I thought he would hit a ball into the sea, the Arabian Sea, next to the Wankhede Stadium. And the other hand, the manner he got dismissed, leaving a ball going down leg side and onto his stumps. Who leaves a ball going down leg side in T20 cricket? Can somebody explain that to me? It was such a maddening innings. Chennai deserved to win, but if Kolkata had won, it would have been one of the most maddening wins in IPL history.
I think Kolkata have got much better cricket in them.
Yes.
And that game showed it because they've got depth that they didn't quite expect. You know, when they bought Pat Cummins, they did buy him as a fast bowler. They didn't quite realise what a powerful hitter he can be on those flat tracks. He'll find it much more difficult on tricky tracks, but there he keeps on giving you power down the order. Their middle order is yet to fire, and that is a really serious issue. Owen Morgan's still short of runs, but it's a long season. I see in Kolkata a ceiling that's high enough actually to get them into qualification. They could be battling with, well, it's an argument, the Capitals or, you know, CSK.
Yes.
Because I think, you know, that you can imagine CSK's ceiling being lower. KKR, I think of the four teams that we're talking about are the ones most likely to escape the kind of velocity that's dragging these four teams into a perilous situation. I think they're the one that can make it. Andre Russell's innings was remarkable. Is it even more remarkable that he has to be shielded from the left arm spinner? Because that's his kryptonite. But also, you know, you see depth in their resources and you see savvy and game plan, and they're well led. So for Kolkata, I see hope.
And you know what? Their top order is actually good. Shubman Gill and Nitish Rana, Tripathi, they're not going to get out cheaply for single digits in every inning. So you add that to the middle order, finding some footing, finding some form, and KKR might just go on a run from here onwards, because like I said, they're now playing in truer conditions. No more games in Chennai, but I know two teams that will be desperate to get out of Chennai: Sunrisers Hyderabad and Mumbai Indians. We're not talking about Mumbai Indians right now, but they also have one game remaining. But Sunrisers Hyderabad, David Warner complaining about the pitch in Chennai. Finally, it's taken 12 days, 13 days, I don't know, that somebody's actually complained about the pitch and the conditions in Chennai. But let's be honest, Daniel, they're not the best. They're not the best T20 conditions. I mean, you know, there was a lot of debate about the pitches during the India-England Test Series. I think there should be a debate about these T20 pitches in that spirit. They had Kane Williamson back and they beat Punjab Kings very easily. Punjab Kings bowled out for 120. We'll come to them in just a second. Sunrisers Hyderabad getting their first win in 37 from Warner, Bairstow 63. He's getting into some form, aggressive form at the top of the order. And like I said, Kane Williamson back for them. So a good win to get started, finish their next game, which is not going to be easy. It's against Delhi Capitals on Sunday in Chennai. But boy, oh boy, once they're done with this Chennai thing, maybe they'll again start finding their feet.
It's really tough for all the teams in Chennai, actually. And I love watching those games, I've got to say. I like the variety. I like that one IPL game is 200, plays 190. And the next one is, you know, 140 is a really challenging target. Look, Sunrisers, I don't think actually their ceiling is as high as Kolkata Knight Riders. I think that is an issue for them. I think we're seeing some real problems in their batting and how they can use their overseas players. They have to play Rashid Khan. They have to play David Warner. Then they sort of got to play Bairstow and Kane Williamson as well. So you've really packed the batting. And then there's not a lot in between until you get down to that bowling attack. So I have concerns for them. I'll say that. I see them not qualifying. At the start of the season, I thought that they were a good bet. But watching how it's playing out, maybe when they get to more conditions are more favourable for their lineup, we may see a different Sunrisers. But at the moment, they're not really adapting to the circumstance.
They have Vijay Shankar, Manish Pandey, Kedar Jadhav. So these are Indian batsmen who can, you know, get hold of these native conditions. I mean, they're not playing in Hyderabad, but they're still playing at home. I mean, these are Indian conditions. But it's just so tough scoring in Chennai that you need exceptional batsmen. I mean, let's be honest, Manish Pandey, Kedar Jadhav and Vijay Shankar, they are not...
And temperament.
Exceptional
and
batsmen.
Temperament
in terms
is so
of,
important.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms...
Understand that those conditions mean that you've got to go for a lower target and understand your limitations within it. That's the key. That's the adaptability on the ground that they need.
That's why Bairstow moving up top was such a crucial decision. So maybe when they go away, they can afford to maybe leave out Kane Williamson, bring back Jason Holder to give that middle order balance. Again, it's going to be key. That balance is going to be key for Sunrisers Hyderabad. I think they're a team which needs a few more reliable Indian batsmen. And I think that's something that they'll be looking at in the players' auctions next season. But now we must talk about Punjab Kings. Like I mentioned, Sunrisers Hyderabad play Delhi Capitals, their last game in Chennai. Punjab Kings, also their last game in Chennai on Friday, as you might be listening to this podcast, against Mumbai Indians. It's not going to be easy. Mumbai Indians, also their last game in Chennai. So they would want to wrap it up nicely with a third win out of five matches. Punjab Kings, there is a uniformity about their plan. Either Rahul, Gale and Mayank Agarwal get runs, or at least a bulk of the runs, or they don't. And when they don't, it collapses like a pack of cards. Their bowling isn't firing. It's not firing at all. They're too reliant on Mohammad Shami, who is not at all a T20 bowler. Punjab Kings have a major problem. Along with Rajasthan Royals, I think these two could be the bottom two sides.
Yeah, it feels like that, doesn't it? But what I would say with Punjab Kings is I think they've got that just a little bit more X factor in their batting.
Because than Nicholas Rajasthan Koran Royals.
Oh, yes. most definitely. But actually, than quite a few teams. Because if, you know, with Gail Rahul, Nicholas Poran, I mean, he's had three ducks so far, a two-ball duck, a one-ball duck, and a naught-ball duck. You know, he's even run out without facing a ball. So we know what Nicholas Poran can do. The IPL has seen what Nicholas Poran can do. He is an electrifying player. We know what Chris Gayle can do. We know what K. Rahul can do as well. So there will be days over the next 11 matches that they play in which one, two, or three of those players will fire and they'll win them a game. But they're sort of relying on that. And I always think that the best template for T20 is sort out your bowling. And this is true around the world. The most consistent team in England is Sussex, and it has a bowling attack of Jofra Archer, Rashid Khan, Timal Mills, Danny Briggs, and Chris Jordan. I mean, and that's in the English T20 with 18 teams. They've worked out a method for winning. You look at the Mumbai Indians, they have got a bowling attack to die for, and RCB have improved this year because their bowling attacks come together. So sides spend too much time thinking, if I look on paper and I've got six brilliant batters in the top six, we're bound to win. They forget that batting is a capricious thing. A bowler bowls four overs every game. A batter can get 100, as we saw from Sanju Samson, and then he can get nothing. That's what batters do, I'm afraid. They break your hearts. Now, Punjab are relying on their batting, and that is why they've got a problem.
I think one of the tricks that Punjab Kings are missing is they have David Malan on the bench. I mean, Rajasthan Royals would give an arm and a leg and maybe even a head to get an extra batsman on their bench. But right now, they have David Malan on their bench. He's somebody who can hold one end together. That's how he bats in international T20 cricket. So by playing him instead of playing Chris Gayle and then opening with him and moving Mayank Agarwal to number three, they could sort out a bit of their opening conundrum. Because right now, it's KL Rahul who's trying to anchor the innings from the very beginning, and it's not working. It works well when he goes slam bang. So get David Malan in, let him anchor the innings. Then you have KL Rahul, Mayank Agarwal, and Nicholas Poran going bang, 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 and it might just sort out their problems. I'm rooting for Mumbai Indians to win the game against Punjab Kings with ease, given the form. We'll be back next week with more reviews and look back at the games over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Until then, it's me, Chetan Narula, and Daniel Norcross signing off. Goodbye.